Blog Talk Radio.
You don't think Susan is code for white? Is Becky?
Mm-hmm.
Is Karen?
Yeah, it is, but not when Whitney Houston made the song.
Is it computer buffering?
Yeah. June, yo, this summer's moving, yo. It's gonna be July. July in 2 days. We halfway through the year. The year is already halfway over. Welcome to the Off-Ramp Show for the people, by the people that by the people. So where me and my folks get together right about the week's mathematics. He was popping in these streets. He was happening in your hood, my hood, and all the hoods across America. See what you find interesting out in these streets, what you want to talk about, what you want to discuss, what you want to argue about, what you feel deeply about, what you got questions about. We discuss all types of topics, situations. I bring a lot of personal stuff on here just because, you know, I think that it's just good to talk about and get honest, live discussions on people's lives. I don't really take much to heart. It doesn't really bother me emotionally, so I like bringing personal stuff, and, you know, you're more than welcome to bring your personal stuff. But if you just want to talk about what you see on the internet and the interwebs and in real life, you're welcome to do that, too. We hide the names and faces to protect the innocent. I want anybody getting fired over their job. You can catch us on all the social media platforms. You can catch us on all the interwebs and all that good stuff. My social media, our social media presence is pretty god-awful, but you can still hit us up on that. You know, I still tweet from the show link most of the time. That's really it, man. So call in if you want, 929-477-3975. You can hit us up on Twitch. You can hit us up on all the Twitters and Instagrams and let us know what you want to talk about. DJ C. Sire. So welcome, everybody. DJ C-Sire to the building. DJ C-Sire, how are you doing tonight? Doing all right.
You're supposed to be doing your hair, and you're strolling on the internet. You got work this weekend. You got to get moving, Charlotte.
I know. I'm actually trying to reset the old password on the internet.
Oh, for our power bill?
I don't know what to do with that.
We haven't paid our power bill in like 5 months. So
I'm gonna call them on the phone. They're going to have to help somebody get into an account.
It's funny. So our power company was bought out by, what power company did buy out? It was somebody I knew, too. It's not like Baltimore Gas and Electric. It's somebody. It's another power company. They got bought out, and they went to do a merger on their website to bring all the existing people in, and, like, everything went to shit, and, like, no one can get on. And, like, if you try to, like, you can't access your account, and, like, if you call them, like, yeah, I can't access my account to pay, they're like, yeah, we know, just give us a little while. And it's just like, yo. And eventually they're going to have to cut us off. Now, a good thing about being in this position is that, like, we got the money to pay for the ridiculous bill that it's about to be. It's probably going to be about $800. But, like, I just think about, like, with me and Ho and Blair and all of us in college, like, if this happened to us and we were in college, like, no way we would be putting money away for the power bill. Like, it's just going to have to get cut off. It got cut off. That was the first time I realized that the electricity has something to do with the hot water.
because our power got cut off. Shout out to my man, Dr. Brown, Dr. D. Brown. He got us some 40s. We sat in his seat, bring and drank 40s, listened to music, and then went into the dark house because there was no lights. Woke up the next day to get a shower and just get out the house, and there was no hot water. I was like, oh, man, like, what does that have to do with everything? He's like, oh, electricity heats the water. Speaking of my old roommate, Hove's in the building. Hove, welcome to the All-Rap. How you doing tonight, my brother?
I'm good, B. What's going on? What's cracking? In the streets.
Y'all power still tonight? Out? Or you...
No,
no,
I'm
our
the street,
power, we just haven't been able to pay our power bill in a couple months. The internet sites down. So,
absolutely.
You know. Yeah, so it's one of those things. Hey, glad to have you on as always, my brother. Life's good. Everything treating you good?
Yeah, man, the mortgage industry's still wild, but outside of that, you know, I'm good.
All right. Well, glad to have you as always. Got my man Blur in the building. Blur, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight, my brother?
Oh, man, I'm great. You know, blessed and highly favored. Glad to see another beautiful day. I mean, living it up out here in the Midwest, man. Can't ask for any more.
I hear that. Now, out here in Southeast Virginia, we are witnessing experiencing the Canada wildfires again, and it's a little hazy. Not as bad as it was last time, but it's definitely a smoke in the air as Canada burns to the ground. Are any of you two, Blur, you affected by any of the wildfires out there in the Midwest?
I am not, man. I've been out and about, running the streets a little bit the past couple of days. I haven't had or seen anything out of the norm. My peoples, though, have been sending me screenshots of their phone and everything, talking about air quality warning, and like news tickers showing an air quality warning is in effect or whatever. I ain't seen or experienced nothing. I'm living it up with no problem whatsoever.
Okay. Now, Hove, you're out west. You are in the desert, so I just assume everything is always burning. Are you affected at all by the Canada wildfires?
Nah, not Canada, but there's wildfires here, like an hour from me. But not like what's going on in Canada. It's not that bad. But they do have wildfires. It's like in North Scottsdale.
Now, the wildfires that's near you, can you, like, smell them? And, like, is there, like, a haze in the air?
Nah, it's not that bad. I don't think it's burning, like, trees and all that. It's just burning desert. Like, it's all, like, wildlife out there. So you see people posting up about them going out and saving horses and all kind of other stuff. And different fire teams and volunteer firefighters are going out there. But we have something similar to it every year. So it's not anything new. It just sucks when it happens because animals die. And sometimes people's houses burn down, but it's not close enough to me that I would even know it happened if I didn't see other people posting about it.
Okay. It's funny, like, how, like, we probably experienced some of this stuff. It probably happened before when we were kids and we just didn't know it. And now that you're older and paying attention to the news, you kind of understand some of the stuff. Like, even down here in Southeast Virginia, like, we're getting the remnants of the Canadian wildfires, but it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal to us because we have a swamp right next to us. The next city over basically is the home to a swamp that starts to lead out to the Atlantic Ocean. And because it's swampland, half of the time it can be dry, half of the time it can be like a river. If lightning strikes and it's like dry over there, it'll start a wildfire. And there's been a couple of years where, like, that shit started burning, and every time we walked out of our apartment or out of our house, we'd smell it burning, or there'd be a little haze in the air, and it's just like, eh, the Dismal Swamp's on fire again, and you just go about your day. This is the first time where I've heard people really talk about air quality and don't go outside, so I don't know if it's a different, more dense smoke that we're getting from Canada, or if we just have more knowledge of, yeah, when these wildfires burn, we should probably just throw a mask on to be safe. But, you know, I guess it makes sense as part of life. It's weird that you say that, Ho. I dated a girl in college, and she was, like, one of her jobs was, like, to rescue horses. That's, like, burning and stuff. And, like, you kind of, like, when you look at things, you're like, ah, yeah, that's one of the reasons why we didn't work out. Because, like, if we got married and something happened and she was like, and I was like, oh, our house is going to burn now. We got to leave. And she said, no, I got to go save horses. I'd be like, bitch, you're out of your mind. And they would start a huge fight. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's why things don't work out between people. Because you just have different views. But, hey, I love the fact that we got people out there who save horses from a place that's burning down. I would just hope that the horses are smart and not, like, run into the fire and just burn to death. I would think that they'd be able to run away on their own.
I think, don't they got to, like, because I've seen that in a movie or something, like, they got to get the horses, like, from being tied down and restricted. Most of these animals, I guess, like, farm animals are in a confined space. Like, they have to be released in order for them to get away from fires. Otherwise, you're just going to let them burn to death in the pen or whatever they in.
So that's what typically happens. Like, there's a bunch of, like, horse ranches, right? So the horses, they might not, they're not, like, loose wild, but they're like, fenced in. Like, it could be, like, they could have, like, half a mile of fence, but again, they're stuck in that half a mile of fence. And so, you know, people have horses, but they don't have horse carriers to actually move the horses out of that area. So while they can get up and go, the horses are kind of stuck until they get horse carriers or horse trailers to be able to take them to wherever they're going. Then they got to find a place to actually put them. It's not like you can just move a horse and just post it up somewhere. Like, you actually got to have the kind of facilities that or resources that can hold multiple horses in a confined area.
If your place is burning and you get up and leave and you don't simply go to the gate, open the gate, unlock the horse stable, like, if you leave and leave your horses locked up to burn to death and somebody else has to go in there and save them, you should be charged with murder. Like, all you got to do is untie them and open the gate.
Wait, he just told you can't just do that.
Why can't you?
You lose your horse, yo.
They're going to die. No, okay. So maybe I'm framing it the wrong way. If you have the means, you should find somebody to come and get your horses and move them to a different place. I think that's the best option for everybody. But if you're in a position where, yo, I got to get out of here because I got a fire coming, and you pack your bags and leave, and you just leave your horses in the state to get burned up and die, you should be charged with murder. If anything, undo the stables and unlock them and let them run away from the fire. That's all I'm saying.
I'm assuming that if they leave them there, they're probably assuming that they're coming back. They'll be able to come back and get them, but I don't know. I don't have horses. Like, I mean, I don't know. I was going to say something controversial. Leave it alone.
And I think you're framing it like it's time for all this. Like, again, we're talking, you're limited to people who don't have the means. I mean, it's the wildfire, or more likely in cases like I heard where I'm at, the tornado coming. Like, it's going to be, and you assume it, like, you walk out the front door of the house, the gate to open, let the horses out, is right there. That may not be the case. Like Cole said, it might be half a mile or a mile that they got. So you going to get your kids and everything and get to the shelter and get out of there? or you gonna hop in the truck and drive a mile towards the fire or the hurricane to let the horses out, not to mention any other animals you got. I mean,
yeah. Okay. Now you just changed the scenario. A tornado, them horses gotta die. Right, you just gotta tornadoes drop in. They just gotta go. Just God ain't with you that time. But a fire, you know, like this isn't like a fire because somebody like poured gasoline and started a fire. This is a wildfire. Like they burn slow, they just burn consistent. You have time to get out there and unlock. If you have time to pack up and leave, you got time to just open up the gate and let your horses out. But we're not
interesting thing that you bring. Now, we ain't got to say that, but this is why you bring that up, because it makes me think about Katrina, because, you know, they told everybody to leave. Like, get out for Katrina, leave. People didn't leave for various reasons. And I was living in Louisiana at the time, and yes, you know, we got mad people leaving, flying. They got people going down there trying to rescue people dying. If you don't leave, should they be charged with murder? Like, I mean, you say it for animals, but, like, what if it ain't just animals? Like, animals, what if it's people and everything? Like, if you stay and don't leave when the government say leave, the local government, because I don't think they, like, they ain't send people to force nobody out. If you choose to stay and somebody from your family or whatever dies?
No, I mean, look, we live in a hurricane alley. When we had a hurricane last year, they told us to evacuate. We've been mandatory evacuated probably about two or three times, because one time, like, our evacuation was this side and it wasn't the other side. And then the last one, we had this whole area was supposed to leave. Anyway, go do that. We've been mandatory. You have to leave your house at least twice since I've lived here. We ain't leave. No, I shouldn't be charged for murder. I should accept the consequences that come. Now, if I stay and my house collapsed and the government couldn't get to me because they were dealing with other stuff, I have to deal with those consequences because I was told to leave. Now, I'm in a privileged position where I have to really take that L because I could leave. Like, I could pick up today, go to a hotel, and just stay there if needed. There's a lot of people in this area, and I live in a city. There's a lot of people in the city that don't have those needs. But I would have to deal with those consequences if I decided to stay. If you decide to leave and you left your animals locked up, and if is it, and hurricanes are, I think, kind of the same way. Like a hurricane, you get a pretty good notice that it's going to hit your area. You know, maybe Cuba doesn't, maybe Dominican Republic doesn't, but everyone else on the East Coast, like, you kind of know an hour, you kind of know a couple of days beforehand that it's going to hit you. You don't know how bad it's going to be. But New Orleans' problem wasn't really Katrina. It was the man-made levee. Like, Katrina sucked as a storm. It saturated it just kind of spun in the Gulf. And it saturated the land and all that stuff. But if you ever look at the city of New Orleans, like, it's just in a terrible spot. Like, that's just man being ignorant. Like, they should have never built the city there. If you just open Google Maps and look at the city of New Orleans, it's surrounded by water. It's not like Galveston, I can understand why it got destroyed by a hurricane. It's the first port city. But at least it backs up to just massive land. It's just the last part of the land before you get to the water. New Orleans has water on the north, south, east, and west of it. It ain't going to make it. Like, it's just not going to make it. So it sucks, but, you know, this shit happens. What you going to do? I didn't want to stay on this stuff too long, but you got anything else, Blur? Hope? We got a lot to get you, man.
Oh, no, I'm good, man. You know, you just caught me off guard a little bit with that I get what you're saying. You got enough time, and you leave, and you leave somebody behind, and yeah, that's on you. So, I get where the where you're putting this.
Hold, you got anything?
No. Nope, I'm good.
All right, a lot to get you tonight. I got to start off on the chat. We got my man, New York, New York in the building, New York, New York. Welcome to the Offering, man. As always, my brother.
What do you do? What do you do? Thanks for having me.
You sound like you you on a spaceship, man. You traveling again? Last time you called in, you was on your way to New York. You coming back?
Oh, nah. It's just hot as hell in this garage. I got the fan blowing on me right now. Because, you know, I don't know why they build houses without the AC in the garage.
Hey, you know you Hispanic people do not put on AC. But, all right, cool. So let's get right to it. I wanted to discuss this a couple weeks ago. There's a podcast out. It's called Slow Burn. I find Slow Burn has done a good job of, you know, multiple different podcasts that deal with different types of issues, but they're all pretty, I guess you want to say, like, pop culture relevant, but, like, it's not all the same thing. Like, they've had, I think they're on, like, their 8th or 10th season, 8th, 9th, 10th, or one of those. And they've done one on, like, Biggie and Jay-Z. They've done, like, Monica Lewinsky. Like, it's different types of stuff, right? So this season, they're doing it against Clarence Thomas. So Clarence Thomas, who's in the news a lot now, because even today, the Asian community took it to the Supreme Court because basically like the Harvards and the Yales, Asians are very, I guess you could say they're discriminated against. I mean, there's no really other way to say it. Because the Asian community stresses grades so much, they kind of breed their kids, a lot of them, not all of them, not absolute, but a lot of them breed their kids to excel in academics to get into the Harvard and Yale. Because a lot of that comes with, you know, a good name and, you know, good opportunities and good careers and, you know, especially a lot of immigrants and a lot of foreigners do that type of stuff. Not all Asians are like that, but Harvard specifically relegates the amount of Asians allowed in the school because they want a diverse school. So if, let's just use round numbers, if 10 Asians have all 1500s in the SATs, all 4.0s, did everything, and there's a black kid who's got a 1400 on his SAT and got straight A's, they'll take the black kid over the Asian kid because they want to add a black person. Same thing with a white person. They want a diverse campus. Affirmative action helps that case because it allows for minorities to have a stake in the game. It says, hey, you have to have a certain amount of minorities. You can't just accept the majority of the people. Well, the Asians got mad and said, no, Harvard, you can't discriminate against us just because we're Asian. You can't limit us. And the Supreme Court, and with the lead of Clarence Thomas, basically struck down the day and Blur, you can correct me, and said, yeah, no more affirmative action. We are doing away with affirmative action. It don't matter what color you are. You have to get everything on your merits. And that raises a lot of questions. It raises a lot of discussion points on, well, who controls the merits? What's the standards? Is all standards equal?
I want to discuss Clarence Thomas, the personality. So there's a bunch of different discussions here. And if you haven't heard the podcast, I recommend it. It's really Joel Anderson. He's he does a lot with sports, too. Real good. It's called Slow Burn. Again, this season's with Clarence Thomas. The Biggie and Tupac one's real good. The Monica Lewinsky joint's good. The O.J. Simpson one's good. So it's a good – I enjoy the podcast. You got to pay for some stuff. I haven't, but it's really good. So I want to start with, before we get into the person of Clarence Thomas, I just want to get a gauge on if any of y'all saw the Supreme Court ruling that came down today and what you think. Blur is our resident litigator, so I'm going to come to you last because I'm pretty sure you have the most to say. So let me just check in with New York. New York, did you see the Supreme Court ruling? Do you have any opinions, any thoughts?
I've seen it. Actually, I do, but I still got to get knowledgeable. Like, I just looked it up. I looked up who Clarence Thomas was and everything like that. I'm still getting knowledgeable before I can formulate my opinions and my thoughts. But come back to me.
Okay. Hove, you got anything?
So I saw that they eliminated it, but I mean, I guess for me, I would just question, like, is it still all merit based? Like, are they still asking the questions of what race you are on the application, or are they eliminating that completely? Like, if it's just strictly merit based and there's no anything on the application, obviously you can read into some names, things like that. You're never totally going to be able to avoid it, but I don't really have an argument for a top school in the nation saying we're just going to go off of the academic standards that we set, whether that's SAT, GPA, whatever that looks like. I don't have a problem with that.
Now, Hope, just to correct you and give you some information, not correct you, it sounds negative, but just so you know, this wasn't the school's decision. The school said we wanted to know if you were black, if you were white, if you were Asian, because we want to build our university to be diverse. We don't want it to be strictly academics, because maybe all the Asian people got all the top grades, and we don't want an all-Asian campus. We don't want an all-white campus. We want a campus that has multiple different backgrounds. So this wasn't the school saying, this was the university. This was the Asian people suing the university and saying, you got to stop looking at race. It should only be merit-based. Now, I just got a quick question before I go to you, Blur. Hove, just because you're a businessman, you got a lot of your own stuff going on, do you have a problem with people suing a university or company and telling them you don't have the right to make it diverse? You have to make it merit-based.
Is Harp, like, I know that they sued Harvard, though, and that's how it started? Or,
yeah.
Like, it was Harvard. Is Harvard a private or public university? It's private, right?
Yes.
I mean, I would think in a private university, I don't know how you could sue them for deciding who they're going to accept in their school. But again, that's where I would lean on Blur's knowledge to know if that's even a thing. But it wouldn't make sense that they have different standards for who they're accepting in the school. But I guess I can see on the other side where it's like, yo, we had our Asian quota, like, it's time to let some Mexicans or some black kids in that don't meet the same standard. Like, I could see why an Asian would be angry and would want to sue, but I don't know how the law works on those levels, to be honest.
DJ C-Sign, you got anything before we go to our resident Jackie Moon?
Yes. Jackie.
The lawyer from Seinfeld.
Oh, you talking about Blur?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that made a statement. My statement is,
now, you went to a racist school that didn't allow whites.
That's not true.
You and Blur did.
That's not how that those schools work.
Oh.
No, you didn't go there. I know you don't understand, but then we accept.
Y'all are racist.
I
just see y'all.
It's not racist. It is continuing the.
I don't want to get you off topic.
So yeah. What we don't talk about. So, these groups have gotten these Asian students worked up. So to be against affirmative action, and they're saying that this is going against them because we're getting these other students up. We'll say black, probably other minorities as well, but a chance over us who are better students. Number one, can we prove that the students that are being accepted aren't not true? They are. They're not just choosing a random student. And like you said, no, these students have 1,600 on their SAT too. They're not 1,400. These same type of student, okay? We're not just saying, oh, we're going to reach in the bag. Okay, Jeff want to come, Rick want to come, they black, let's go. No. And so I think that's the falsehood of this whole statement, is that these kids are not as smart, as brilliant as the Asians. It's just that they found a loophole where they specifically said, we're going to limit, or there won't be so, this is the percentage of Asians that we'll accept. The thing that people continue to bring up, but no one acknowledges, and no one wants to say anything about it, it's like they keep brushing it away, is the people who are taking the spots for these Asians are legacy students, are funded, you know, the building, parents funded the building, the golf, you know, those are the students that have the 1,400s, the 1,200s, the 800s, because they're rich. And they have connections already to faculty and staff of the university. Their grandparents were there. Their great-grandparents were there. Their great-great-great-grandparents fucking built or, you know, had slaves build it. So those people are taking the smart Asian spot, not the other smart minorities. And I hate it that that's what they're flipping these minorities against, when the real ask is you're not accepting these because they're accepting these students who are legacy students.
Blur, floor is yours, my brother. What a mess.
Oh, man, yeah. So I don't know if you was on here last time, but, yeah, I brought this up a month ago, maybe even a year ago. Remember I was saying I've been, like, really watching this case since its inception, like, when they first filed the lawsuit, like, I want to say maybe a decade ago, maybe not that long ago, but it's been close to it. So, yeah, I've been kind of really invested in this. And there is a lot of misconceptions, but I've been invested because I don't really know how I feel about it, because I kind of get it. And I think I said this a couple months ago when we first talked about it. It's not necessarily a quota of Asian people or whatever, but to what Harvard and a lot of other schools were doing was, it was kind of a sliding scale for admissions where your race played a part. So I forgot what SATs go up to, 1,800 or whatever. So to get in, if you were white and you got 1,800, you were in. But if you got a 1,400 and you were black, you were in. If you got a 1,400 and you were white, you maybe didn't get in. And they justified that by saying, hey, majority of our white applicants are coming from affluent families who have had every benefit and every privilege their entire life. So if you've had every privilege your entire life and you get a 1,400, doesn't look as good as someone who didn't come from the best schools, who didn't have the best education, and they got a 1,400. So we give that more weight. So that's the basis of it. And so it's like, hey, Asians, and it started with a white guy who first did it, but Asians were like, hold up. We got 1,800s and all this, and we're getting denied. Black people, Spanish, Mexicans are getting 1,600s, and they're getting in. This don't flow. And it's like, yeah, but we want a diverse campus, so this is how we do it.
race plays a part in that because we do want a racially diverse campus. And they just like, well, hold up. Don't just book all of Asians together. There's diversity in Asians. Yes, there is, but that's not what Harvard wanted. And Harvard is private, but that's why they expanded it to all these other schools because UNC, which was the two cases that they ruled on, is a public school. And there were some other ones. It was UNC, Harvard, and University of Texas, a bunch of other schools, but they were all covered under these two cases. So they had private and they had public schools covered. Now, what the court did, essentially, they didn't take race out of it completely whole. What they said is it can't be like a major factor. It can only come into place when the applicant is discussing their life. So I guess and I know some schools have even done away with the essay portion, but if your race affected your life, which, you know, some people can argue that it always going to affect your life. Some people maybe not. That's why it's kind of tricky, this ruling, how much it changed, if anything at all. It's just, hey, if your race had an impact on your life growing up and your life story to this point, then the school could take it into effect. But the school itself can't have that kind of sliding scale of requirements based on race. So I've always been kind of up in the air, or like I could see it both ways. Like, yeah, okay. That's why I always said, hey, it's easier. That's why I'm saying that you got in on affirmative action was always such a dig. Like, yo, you didn't do as good as everyone else. You got in because you're black. Which, yes and no, is this, did they lower the bar for black people? Some schools, yes, because they maybe only looked at that. But Harvard justified it like, yeah, we say black, but we really mean if you had a really rough upbringing social and economically. If you grew up in the inner city, if you were homeless, if you had a one-parent household, and when you put all those together, it just so happens that falls into the black and Hispanic communities, so they fit into that category. The weird thing, or the funny thing is, California did away with this 25 years ago. And so they've always got a case study to see how this goes. And I think Cal Berkeley was the first people to do it. They did away with it and then the whole state. And it does affect, and the argument was, hey, if we're going to make it just merit-based and we're not going to have this slide in scale, we're not going to judge on what the way race impacted anyone, it was obvious, like, hey, black and Hispanic people weren't getting in. It's like, because they, when they first, affirmative action happened, I think in 85 or something like that, they saw an uptick in black and Hispanic kids getting into Cal Berkeley and, you know, the highest schools. And then in 98, when they did away with it, they saw a dramatic drop. And they were like, okay, something's going on. So they put in a new program where they're like, all right, we're not going to say it's race-based, but we are going to take it to all these other areas. Your zip code, which, you know, if your zip code is a black neighborhood, then more than likely you're black. Your parents' income, things like that. They saw a slight uptick, but still not as much when it was based solely on what the rules of affirmative action, where you could say, like, hey, if you're black, you don't need the 1800 to get in, 1600 and a strong essay, you good. Stuff like that. So I have mixed feelings. Like, I could see why someone would say, no. Don't lower the bar for black people. Everyone's strictly merit-based. And, yeah, if you got an interesting story, you grew up homeless, you would never miss a day of school because the only way you can eat, and you happen to be black, cool. We'll take your 1300. And I can understand the Asians saying, no. Don't just say all Asians fit in this category. There's diversity in these Asians as well.
I mean, yeah, it's tough. It's the what's the movie with my man Eddie Murphy and the second best blackface ever, Trading Places. It's
exactly that, it's exactly like that, which I just watched that not too long ago, so it's so funny that you bring that up. If I had the opportunities you had, I would be killing it too.
Right. So it's, but it's tough, but now, Blur, you're also the same person who said that if you owned a restaurant and I didn't want to serve white people, you would be okay with that. If you're a restaurant and you want to serve black
people. Yeah, and then I guess let's let the market figure, play it out. If somebody supports it, that's cool. But I support the school saying, hey, this is how we want our campus to look. I'm totally support with that. And again, the Supreme Court didn't really say they couldn't. They're just going to have to get, and I don't know, this is good or bad, they're just going to have to get clever on how they do that. Harvard is still going to have a diverse campus. Well, they might, well, I believe they will, because I think Harvard definitely has the means to do so. And Cal Berkeley, one of the best schools in the West Coast, they actually call it the Harvard of the West, which, you know, if that's what you want to be called, they still have a diverse campus. Again, it wasn't the way it was after, like, right after 85, but I think if they wanted to get it that way, they could. So, I mean, I don't think they didn't stop it and say it's going to be strictly merit-based. Hey, you only take the people, if your requirements are this, then you go down the list. Whoever has, if you take 100 people every year, top 100 SAT scores, that's coming in. You don't look at nothing else. They didn't say that. They just said, hey, you just have to take this one area out of your criteria and figure everything else out. I did want to mention something, though. DJ Cesar, you brought it up about who's taking those spots. It's actually kind of misleading, or not as much as people think. It's actually, for Harvard campus specifically, it's only like 4 out of every 100, which ain't that big a number. Like, 4 out of every 100 students, well, specifically 4 out of every 100 white students, and Harvard's only 33% white, are the ones who would not get in if it wasn't for some type of political or family connection. Not as high as I was expecting, but I saw that poll somewhere. They broke down the numbers, 33% white, 75% of them are legacy or whatever, and how many of them are would not meet the criteria to get into Harvard if it wasn't for this. And it turned out to be like 4 out of every 100 white students.
It's because they changed the paperwork. Come on now. I don't believe those stats.
Hey, I just got a quick question. Because I know Blur and his brother talk about a lot about their children going to their alma mater, Grambling, and they have a legacy program. Does Hampton have that as well? I don't know either. Hov, do you know if Towson has a legacy program? Like, I've never heard of, you know, you went to the school, you spent money, you graduated, and I'm going to give your kid a discount. But, like, I've always heard when your kid gets stuff because you get it. I just had it in my head. But you know what I'm saying. Nepotism. Like, I've heard of nepotism at these, like, rich schools. Like, oh, you know, my dad went to Yale, so I can go to Yale. Hov, have you heard about that before? At, like, our alma mater? Like, can my kid get a ride to you?
I'm a guess now. But it could be possible. I don't know. I've never heard of it there, but again, I mean, it feel like TU let everybody in, though. No? With a lot of dummies in school.
You think TU it was easy to get in that school? I thought the amount of people that didn't have, that was their first choice. It was either their University of Maryland. But I guess it's the second biggest school in Maryland, so what are you going to do? Like, I thought it was tough to get in that school. But, see, I mean, again, we played sports, so. And I had a good GPA and good SAT coming out. I can get in any school I want. But it's – I always wondered how – like, I thought it was a good school. Right? Was it easy to get into you?
I mean, I don't know. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
see,
I got in there before I applied to, and I damn sure wasn't a legacy of anybody.
Yeah, me either. So it's interesting. But yeah, so back to the and New York, jump in if you haven't passed out in that 100-degree garage. But it's always interesting, the affirmative action, like, just topic, because, you know, as an athlete, as, you know, a competitor, I want you to judge me on my words. And DJ Cesar, feel free to jump in if you got anything else. But I want you to judge me on how hard I worked, what I've accomplished. But I've read enough books to know that, you know, some people start at the start line and some people start at the finish line. It's like, well, yo, we ain't running the same race. Like, I want the same – I want you to judge me on my works when we're running the same race. And I feel like people should be left to judge that, but I have no faith in humanity. So I got better off. Like, I want Harvard to have the ability to let in, if they're a private university, you let in whoever you deem as possible. And then the other half of me is like, blur. And it's like, well, if they say I only want to let in white people, then like, yo, fuck Harvard then. Don't let no black people in. Tell black people, tell them to suck they dick. But, yo, if I want to eat at Burger King, like, they should be able to serve me because I'm black. Like, I shouldn't have to get, like, the green book to figure out where I can eat if I'm traveling to Kentucky. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, shouldn't be, they shouldn't be not serving you because you're black. That should be, like, let's start there. Like, let's not hate on people because of the color of their skin. Like, that, if that wasn't the case, then it wouldn't be an issue at all.
But isn't that affirmative action? You're trying to force people to not hate on you.
No, that's not trying to force people. It's essentially, and you know what's changing? Because I was listening to the news when it came out, and everybody's been talking about it since. The views of higher education and how when affirmative action started, affirmative action in education, because you got affirmative action in the workplace as well, which I think was a quota system. And affirmative action in education was not based on quotas, but essentially it was like, hey, this is still the fastest way for upward mobility to, you know, to build generational wealth is through education, you know, which I still think is the case. But it's funny how a lot of people don't feel that way no more, who don't feel like, hey, you know what, who cares? Like, so you can't go to Harvard. So what? You still make, you know, $200,000 in construction or something like that. And that very well may be the case. There may be more ways. I don't know if there's more. I'd like to find out ways to get to create generational wealth in the blue-collar field as opposed to going to Harvard or University of North Carolina or University of Texas for $100,000 a year and getting a white-collar job. So I've seen a lot of people talking about that. It's like it's not much to do about nothing. And I saw a Wall Street Journal reporter talk about today, because they did a piece on California and University of Cal Berkeley, how, like, they didn't see, like, once California stopped using affirmative action in education, it's not like black and brown people stopped going to college. They just didn't go to the top colleges. They didn't go to Cal Berkeley and USC. It's like you saw a – everything, like, where they went, everything went down to, like, the next level down. So it was, like, instead of Cal Berkeley, it was, like, University of California, Santa Cruz or something like that, and then down and down. So it was, like, so people are still going to get the education. They're just not going to the best school, which, you know, hey, if I can't get into Harvard, I go somewhere else. So I get people saying it's not much to do about nothing, but at the same time, I think it's an issue more for the school itself and letting the school decide who they want to let in.
I do always wonder about the quote-unquote best school. Now, I mean, Harvard, Yale, Stanford, you know, all those schools have claim and a reason why they can be considered one of the best schools, and it's really just based off the famous people and the presidents that come out of that school. But, you know, they'll tell you there's a lot of, you know, schools across America that you become a real good lawyer out of. It doesn't have to be Harvard or Yale. It's just you get the alumni connections. That's what makes it a better school, not really the education. Because I have this argument with people when it comes to, like, public and private school. They have these discussions, and it happened a lot in my neighborhood, especially when me and DJ C. Sign was first having our child and we were deciding where to put them. And they were telling us, oh, you can't put them in Norfolk public schools. You can't put them in Norfolk public schools. They're terrible. They're terrible. You got to put them in private school. And I realized, and because our neighbors are mainly white, shout out to our neighbors. We love y'all to death. But that was them just coming from a white perspective. Like, there was, we put our kid in public school. What was bad about the school? Now,
I mean, it's got to be based somewhat on numbers, right? Like, graduation rate, test scores, class size. I think, isn't that more so just the raw data that comes out of it?
Yes, but data out, this is why I pick numbers for a living, because you can make any number say anything you want. If you take all the good kids in the city and put them in a different school than the public school, you put them all in private school, then the public school looks horrible. But that doesn't account for the education of the kids that are in the city. If you put all those good kids in that public school, then the graduations are fine, and the school is fine. The real problem.
So when you say good students or good kids, you're talking about the smarter ones, right? Like smarter kids or whatever?
And it's the funny thing. I don't even believe it's smarter. It's just well-to-do families, because most public schools thrive off of basically private donations and funding. So the public school that we had our son in, it definitely had some issues, don't get me wrong. But you can tell it had more to do with funding. It didn't have to do with the teachers. The teachers are great. The building was old, but we live in an old city. I mean, our city housed were the first slaves that ever came to America. Like, that's our city. It's that old. If they just had the money to fix up the 110-year-old building, it'd be fine. But they don't, because the brand new buildings are all private schools who can charge parents tuition and get government funding, where the public schools are just strictly government funding. So,
well, don't that play into why they're ranked or perceived as better? Like, all right, you're going to get the newest textbooks with the most updated information. You're going to have the most comfortable environment to learn in. You're going to have, like, the smallest student-to-teacher ratio. I mean, all that does have to deal with money. So, and I will hopefully the data shows out that, hey, this results in higher test scores, higher graduation rates, higher SAT stuff. Kids who come through with these conditions go to higher colleges, or I guess, again, we're trying to decide what makes it better, but, you know, Ivy League are just better perceived schools.
And it's only, but I'm saying that it's only because of money. It has nothing to do with the education, because you can get a good education anywhere. And the reason why I really say that, because everything's on Google. Like, a teacher can get enough information to really get you involved in the subject that you can get a good education anyway. And the perfect example of the public school, like, they get free lunch. Hell, they got free breakfast. They got free breakfast, free lunch. They all got computers. It wasn't the education that made it the bad school. It was the fact that all the talented kids with well-meaning, well-to-do families took their kids and put them in private, and what you're left in that school was, and I don't say that because it's not every single kid, but what you're left is mostly a lot of kids who come from poor neighborhoods, who have mental problems that schools are just not equipped to handle, because kids with a lot of these mental problems have to go to specialty schools, and these parents can't afford them.
Oh, like, so you're not saying that...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, so you're not saying that these schools that are, like, considered less than or bad schools are not bad schools. You're just saying why they're bad schools, or again, perceived to be bad schools. Saying, I won't say public schools, because out here, I don't think public schools are perceived to be bad schools. I think they're probably just as, yeah, I think they do just as well as private schools, but while they're, I guess, perceived to be bad as private schools, because they took all the talented kids out, and these are the families that don't have the financial means, and they're not receiving the funding. So that's why they're bad schools or worse schools. You're not saying that they're not worse schools, that they are worse schools, but this is why.
Yeah, and it's really just because of the talent. Because I know a bunch of parents, and I don't say no names, and please forgive me if you're listening. I'm not specifically talking about you, but I am talking about you. But it's just an example of what it happens. Like, I know a lot. I know multiple parents who have talented kids who didn't put their kids in public schools. They put them in private schools only because they knew they could get a scholarship from the private school that's government funded so that their kid could attend this better school where, because their parents ain't got the money to really send them to private school. Like, they don't have the $20,000 it costs to send their kid to high school every single year, to send their kid to a private middle school every single year. They don't have the $20,000 extra because that shit's expensive. But because these private schools get government funding, they're allowed to give these kids from good middle-class families free money so that their parents may only have to pay like $5,000 a year for their kid to go to a private school. Whereas, honestly, if they just put their kid in public school and supported the public school, spent some time, spent some volunteer time, maybe donated $100 or $200 to the public school, the kids would just have just as good of an education.
You know what's funny? Black-ish has a great episode on this. It's really funny because the dude, Dre or Anthony Anderson, is like schooling his white friend or I guess neighbor or whatever on inner city schools and why they underperform and stuff like that. And the white friend is trying to do all the things to help him. He's like, yo, what can I ultimately do? He's like, yo, send your kids there. He's like, ooh, I agree with you, but not with my kids. Like, they only got one chance at this. So, yeah, I could put my kids at the underperforming school and put my time and effort in them and over time see a change. But, yeah, these are my only babies right now. So, yeah, I'm going to do what I can while my kids go to the private school where they are getting the best because we ain't got time to play with this.
But the funny thing is, if you put your school – see, and this is the argument that I have with my neighbors. If you put your kids in these public schools, you're going to volunteer your time because that's just the type of parent you are. You're interested in where your kids go to school. You're interested in what they're doing. And if you volunteer your time, like, your kids are going to be all right. Like, when our kid – it's funny because he goes to a different school now. I still consider it public, but it's like a magnet school because DJ C. Siren wanted him out the public school, the hood public school. But the funny thing is,
so y'all part of the problem.
It ain't y'all.
No, we're still public.
He said we part of the problem. Look, I wanted to keep my kid in a regular public school, but like what I saw going to the public, regular public city school is when I showed up. Like, them kids listen. Like, when Julia's dad was in the building, like, there wasn't no acting up for the teachers. Even the hood kids.
Yo, you're 6'3", 300.
So you said it's just a physical problem?
Yo, you're a 300-pound black dude talking to, like, fourth graders. Yeah. Everybody ain't going to have that same effect on the kids. Like, you've seen coaches. So I'm going to just jump in because our school's out here. I don't know about y'all, Beach Bum. Y'all might be the same. But, like, here it's all open enrollment. So you can send your kid anywhere. Like, any school in the state, you can send your kid to. You don't have to catch the bus. You just got to make sure you get your kid there if you're not zoned for that school. And then there are charter schools, which are also state and private funded schools, but they're free for the students. Now, the thing with the charter schools is they are able to keep their ratios of student to teacher at like 15 to 1, right? The public schools don't have those luxuries a lot of times because a lot of the people are just going to send their kids wherever they're zoned because they're like, I don't have time to take my kid to school and pick them up. But like, I had our kids in a charter school, and honestly, the academics were actually just better. And we took them out of the charter school, not because of the academics, but honestly because my kid was getting picked on by nerds. And I said, punch the kid in the mouth if he says something else, and I'll tell the teacher I told him that, and he would get put on, like, he would, the little kid would say something slick, and then my son would say something back. The kid would then snitch, right? Like, I'm teaching my kid, don't just run to the teacher. Meanwhile, and it was actually a little Asian kid, funny about the whole conversation, but it was a little Asian kid that kept, like, saying stuff, but then as soon as my son said something back, he would run and tell the teacher, and my son would get in trouble. So I was like, you know what, we out of here. Like, I need him to be around some athletes and not just kids that are just staring at books all day. Like, I need a little level of diversity in the mix. But like, our charter school system here is far beyond what the public schools teach. Our public schools are still, like, affluent schools for the most part where I live, but there's a huge difference in the level of academics that they're teaching and the standards that the school withholds within those academics. Like, I could go volunteer as much as I want, but I can't teach the same things, right? Like, the private schools and the charter schools are able to teach a different curriculum than public schools, at least here. I don't know if that's everywhere because my kids have only lived in Arizona. But, I like, that's a whole different piece of it, is that these private schools can teach a different academic level because they're not held to a lot of times the lower standards that the public schools are forced to hold, because here, like, all the public schools pretty much have the same standards.
Now, I wonder if... I mean, it's a lot to unpack. I wish y'all would have told me, man. You know how many Asian jokes I got? I could have had nephew. We could have had that Asian kid in tears. Because the first joke would have been, yo, tell him to call General Soul.
Nah, man, you just download a gong, give your kids a cell phone and download a gong sound. And every time Asian dude say something, tell him play the gong sound. Yeah, that would have got him right real quick. And every time he started to talk in class, dong.
Yeah, that's what kept getting him sent to the principal's office, B.
Yeah, if my kid gets sent to the principal's office, I tell them, you know, don't call me unless my kid starts a fight. Like, if you're going to send him home, then just send him home. I mean, I still come to get him.
Oh, they weren't calling him. Like, I pick him up or my wife pick him up from school and be like, how was school? And he'd be like, well, I spent 2 hours at the principal's office. Like, they wouldn't even tell us what was going on. We had to go up to the school and handle it ourselves. So they weren't calling us. They weren't saying anything. Like, there was no notice of what was going on. It was just like, we had to find out from our son that he was getting in trouble for this stuff. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's wild. I know DJC Sion was a little concerned because my son kept, like, my son refuses to get bullied. It's a kind of opposite personalities. So he kept getting in trouble. And I remember DJC Sion, like, I didn't care. Like, I'm like, the funny thing is, like, I would talk to the teachers and my kid clearly wouldn't start it, but he would finish it. So I would say, y'all just got to stop. Like, he's an only child. Like put him by himself and he'll be fine. You put him around another kid, if another kid is going to annoy him, my son's going to let him know. And if another kid puts his hands on him, my kid isn't afraid to fight. Like, he takes boxing classes. He's not afraid to fight. He's not going to win every fight, but he ain't afraid to get in a tussle. And I try to explain this to these teachers. And they, you know, sometimes they don't listen. And I just be like, yeah, I don't. And DJC Sion's concerned, like, it's going on his record. And I was just like, yeah, I mean, he's an athlete. I don't, like, they don't care about the record. Like, it's the other part about when your kid's an athlete. It's like, oh, it goes on their personal record. It's like, if he's a good enough athlete, ain't no coach worried about that.
I don't think nobody care about that, really. Like, how often... And I don't know, maybe you just got to get to that point, but I got things on my permanent record. They don't come up again. Like, how? When is that going to come up? Like, that's not going to come up.
He only gets no permanent record.
What's the permanent record? Like, where do you get it? Like, if you transfer schools, they ask for the transcript. and they send you a copy of the transcript. It doesn't say nothing about detention, getting in trouble, none of that. It only talks about the academics.
Okay. Hey, I'm gonna end this conversation because we got on students. We didn't even get to Clarence Thomas. Hey, I encourage y'all to go listen to Slow Burn and listen to Clarence Thomas because I want to talk specifically about that podcast. So does anybody
finish the podcast, Gun?
No, I got one episode left. It's been a hell of a week for me. It's the last days of our fiscal year, so it's been a pretty shitty week for me. Besides a lot of other stuff going on. Me and DJ C. Siren anniversary is tomorrow, 11 years, so that's taking up some time. I guess it really hasn't been done, but it's just been a lot going on.
Yeah, to anybody who want to listen, it's only 4 episodes. I think it's like 4-hour-long episodes. The first three are the ones you really want to get into because that's the background of Clarence Thomas. The last one is more so just about his, you know, his confirmation hearing when that's when Anita Hill and all that came out. So that's the juicy stuff. But I'm assuming everybody already know how that went.
Oh, okay. So then I did finish it. I was trying to go back this week so I can catch up, but maybe I did finish. But yeah, if you haven't had a chance, please listen to it because I really want to discuss Clarence Thomas' personality because I think it's fascinating, especially because he's black, black conservative. And like how he grew up, it's pretty fascinating to me. So if you got 4 hours, you know, an hour a day to just throw something in here, please listen to it. But let's move on. Anybody got anything left on the Supreme Court ruling or anything? DJ, you got anything you want to jump in? Anybody got anything else? Because damn, we got
had a real good marriage.
I know, right? I have a chance. I want to get to y'all subjects, but we got to get through some of this stuff. Jonathan Majors, Megan Good, he got in trouble for beating a white girl, and now he got a black girl. Is he a sellout, DJ Cesar? I think, yo, don't go to the black woman now.
Is it the opposite of a sellout? Is he a
sellout? No, yo, now he trying to be safe. Look, I feel like you should love who you love. I don't care if you love white people. I don't care if you love black people. But this is bad optics. You can't have a white girlfriend for this decade long and then hop to a black girl and get trouble.
I
thought they were together for like a decade.
No, I'm
not. And he ain't married her.
I heard of that. I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, you know, to have some, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. He wants more black people on his side.
That's all it is. Yo, it's pandering, yo. That's why I don't like it, yo. You just pandering to black folks, yo.
Wait, can you explain what happened? I think I missed what you said.
So Jonathan Majors, Kang, he did the
I know you're talking about.
He was with his white girlfriend for years.
I don't know about that. Don't say that as a fact.
He cheated on her. She snapped on him. She lit him up. She called the cops. She got him in trouble.
I don't know about you.
Now, all of a sudden, Hove asked me to explain. I'm explaining my hood version.
Okay.
So now Disney is not sure if they're going to drop him. He's been dropped by other stuff.
Marvel.
Now he's showing up. Yeah, Marvel. Now he's showing up with a black woman.
Megan Good.
A
black
who just got divorced from a pastor. And I think it's only to get black people support. I don't think he really likes this woman. Now, Megan Good, fine. I don't think it's really tough to not like Megan Good. She's a gorgeous-looking woman. Like, she's one of the few good-looking women with a huge forehead. Like, she holds her forehead really, really well. But I think he's only with her to pander to black people. And that makes me upset.
Why do you think that? Because he had a white woman?
Because he had a white woman, got in trouble, and now he with a black woman.
So do you know if he cheated on his white wife with a black woman?
Oh, you know, I don't know and I don't care. Like, this is just jokes with me. I don't care.
I mean, that's a tough allegation, B, with no information.
Well, we're just spitting talking here. This is gossip. No one really cares. I mean, it could be he just begging good. Like, and I'd be okay with that. Like, he could be like, why do you think I'm paying on black people? Yo, it's Megan Good. And I'm like, you know what? That makes sense.
Can I throw something out there and let me know, have you seen the girl, the ex-girlfriend?
Megan Good? Oh, no.
No, the ex-girlfriend.
No, I haven't. I don't know if DJ's
I'm
going to
put a picture. I'm going to put a picture in the chat. Hopefully my phone don't disconnect when I do this. She definitely could be light-skinned black or dark-skinned white.
So Italian?
I mean, if that's what you want to call it. So, I mean, I really don't think it was a race issue on this one. I mean, either one. I think he was just dating someone he thought was attractive. Clearly, he don't discriminate. I mean, she probably do got some Anglo-Saxon ancestry in her, but, you know, this very well, she could pass either way. That said, that's why I don't think that he's pandering to black people in this one, because I don't know if you've seen any of the updates lately. He about to beat these charges. He about to beat every single one of them. They finally put in the court the video evidence that she attacked him. He got witnesses from the Uber. Well, I say Uber, but it was a private car service. The driver and like the landlord or whatever or the apartment building they were staying in, because he couldn't get in, so he had to have that person let him in and was witness to everything when he first came in. Like he about to beat every single one of these charges.
Hold on, blood. DJ C. Siren just showed me the picture. That's a white woman, yo. Ain't nothing dark about her. Look, it ain't nothing wrong with white people. I love white people. Ain't nothing dark skin about her. She look like the Handmaid's Tale lady. This could have nothing to do with race. Again, this was just a quick observation. I don't want to stay long on this. But DJ just showed me this picture of this woman, and ain't nothing wrong with it. I'm going to state it again. I love white people. That woman's white. What do you mean she can be dark-skinned black?
Matter of fact, let me see if I can find it. The first time I seen this picture of her was right, I was scrolling my timeline. Halle Berry was the very next link. Could barely tell the difference in skin complexion.
Well, that's because Halle Berry got that same
tan.
I'm sorry.
Halle Berry is a mixed race.
I know, but I said she got same.
And
so
the white woman it's called tanning boots.
I'm sorry.
That's exactly what I said.
Well, it's her nose. She swear she didn't get a nose job, but her nose miraculously got a lot pointier after Boomerang.
You know, I've never noticed people's nose until I started dating DJ C. Siren. She started pointing out, like, white people's noses versus black people's noses and white people's lips versus black people's lips. Have y'all ever noticed that before, like, white people don't have lips? Did we have this discussion before?
I first noticed it in elementary school. I want to say second or third grade. Yes. It was a white dude, and I didn't understand why all the girls were, like, attracted to this white dude, and I remember just looking and reading. We had to, like, break out into our little reading groups, and the class was reading, and I wasn't paying no attention. I remember just, like, kind of looking at this white dude. I can't remember his name for nothing. I'm like, where are his lips? And I didn't even think about it being a white person thing. I just thought, this dude don't got no lips. It wasn't until I got older, like, maybe middle school, when someone pointed out that, for the most part, white people have very thin upper and bottom lips. And I was like, oh, that's right. Old boy ain't had no lips.
Look, I've never noticed people's lips. I've never noticed people's eyebrows. Hove, have you? Did you notice this before?
Yeah. The common joke back in the day.
About people's lips?
Yeah.
Maybe. See, and that's why I don't mind talking about race, because I've had black friends growing up, white friends growing up, Hispanic friends growing up. I always tell people, it's weird. The city I grew up in had a Russian community. Like, I had a Russian friend. It's weird because I don't know if they're still there. But I've never
we had a Russian
noticed
group
that
too.
White people. Hope, you off the street, yo. Like, the Russian community is all of our community. Between me, you, and Blair, like, I'm still talking about our area. DJ C. Siren ain't got a Russian community. She
just don't know how you didn't notice it, and me and Blair noticed it, and we all live in the same area.
But I'm bad when it comes to, like, the race stuff, because our area is extremely diverse.
That's like saying
like
you ain't realize Asian people have slanted eyes, yo.
I mean, it does look like they squint a lot, but it doesn't. But that's different than looking at someone's lips, though. Like, when I used to see, like, the racist posters of the black people with the big lips, I always just thought, why are they acting like our lips are so big? Like, I never got the joke because I didn't realize that white people didn't have any lips. So now when I see it, I'm like, oh, I understand why you would make that our caricature because you don't have any lips. I didn't realize that until, like, I was, like, 35. So anyway, we can't get on that. What were we talking about? We're talking about...
Yo, real quick, while you figure that out, have y'all ever heard of eyelid surgery, like that Asian people get? It's like a whole ongoing, like, conspiracy theory within the Asian community that certain Asian models and actors will sell out and get eyelid surgery to give themselves eyelids in order to be accepted or appeal more to the white community, and that's how they get on and become more famous. Like, it's a thing. It's like I saw a video where it's like showing all these Jackie Chan, something Liang Yu or whatever his name is, showing like their early career, they have no eyelids. And then like at a certain point they had eyelids and they're like, and you can see there was an uptick in their career. I was astounded. I didn't even know that was a thing. I did not know you could get eyelid like implants or eyelid surgery so you can actually have more visible eyelids.
Yeah, what feel in your time she got eyelid surgery? DJ Siren, would you get eyelid surgery? You like all that fake stuff. You want to get every surgery known to man.
I do. What are you talking about?
You want to get eyebrows and eyelids.
Surgery.
Or a tattoo.
Yeah, not surgery, not a tattoo. But anyway, I don't need eyelid surgery. But I'm assuming they just kind of lift up the brow so that you can see your eyelids, because they have eyelids, because they can close their eyes. So they just lift up that brow bone. I know there is another surgery where you kind of have to go in and they make your eyes more round if they're Asian. So I guess basically you kind of cut that muscle. But, I mean, it's probably true. They probably did get more. It probably worked. You know how people are.
Oh, I just seen Drake throw a football in the Nice for What video. I've never seen this Nice for What video. He just threw a football. He's a terrible athlete. Hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt, DJ. Sorry. I got to ask Blair and all of this. Do y'all ever watch shows and, like, when an actor does something athletic, you immediately say to yourself, they're not athletic?
Absolutely.
Blair, do you do it?
Absolutely, man, 100%. It was I can't remember who it was. It was somebody was playing a football role, and I seen him during the interview. He was like, "Yeah, no, I have no athletic ability." While everybody was playing sports, I was in drama club, and I was like, "That makes so much sense. That makes so much sense." They were in drama club. They weren't in sports.
Yo, Omar Epps is an awful athlete.
Yeah, terrible basketball. Every time I watch Love and Basketball, I love Sanaa Lathan.
And football.
My first.
You remember the program?
So the program.
First off, he has been every single athlete, and he sucks at all of them. Horrible track athlete.
All of them.
All right, I'm sorry. I know he's terrible. Go ahead, DJ. She's sorry. Go ahead.
It gets annoying, though. It's like nobody can run in any scene without commentary. It gets annoying.
Yo, we just watched The Joker.
first of all, boring movie. Hope, have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's worth
it's in
a
movies?
But yeah, for only one time. It's like the origin story of the Joker. I know Blair's seen it because me and him have this argument. Me and DJ C. Simons are watching it. Every time he's running, it's like he still had clown shoes on. Like, in one scene, he had clown shoes on running, and then every time he ran after that, it was like he still had clown shoes on, and it ruined the movie because I was like, he's not an athlete. Like, he's not really
Wait.
Running because he's direct.
Was he supposed to be an athlete in your mind? You thought the Joker had athletic ability?
I know, right?
Like, you know, he's been running for his life. He was getting his ass beat. You're not running for your life like that, yo. You're picking up your knees if you think you get your ass beat, yo. Or after
that is so not true. That is so not true.
Anyway, I don't want to get sidetracked. Boring movie, but great acting. I think I could say that same. DJ C. Simon, you finished?
Yeah.
All right. Anybody got anything left on Jonathan Majors and Megan Good?
Again, he's going to beat these charges. I can't wait till everybody come around and start apologizing, and he goes on his apology tour or his kudos tour to make everybody eat crow. He's about to beat these charges, man, and it's looking really good for him. Got a couple of witnesses. He got video. What's that? Like, is he in court?
And he was.
Yeah, he's in court. And there's been a lot of, like, media personalities and, like, the media, especially the black media in general, have, like, yo, soon as this came out, and I don't want to limit it to just the women-led media, but, yeah, man, people have been bashing him and jokes on him and everything, especially because, you know, the official first word was, hey, messing with this white girl. So, you know, all the Dr. Umar jokes was out there. And it,
that's the only reason, because black women are racist towards white women. It's not because they thought that he really woman.
Oh, no, that was the thing. People really thought he did it. And we talked about it on here, man, and I can't remember who was all on that episode, but, yeah, people were saying he didn't. I was the only person who was justified. I was like, yo, maybe he didn't do it. Maybe he could have just been, like, you know, giving her the Heisman, and she attacked him. He giving her the Heisman, so maybe there may be some scars on her neck. Nah, they got videos showing her attacking.
No, this is the – hold on, I got to stop this shit. I got to – this is why I love you, Blur, but this is why I hate you. And Hove, I'm pretty sure you caught it too. New York caught it too. But Blur said, yeah, we talked about this before. I don't remember what was said, but I know I'm the only one that said he was going to be it.
I didn't say I don't remember what was said. I said I don't remember who all was on. I don't remember if Hope was on that episode. I don't remember who I was on, but I know I was the only person who defended him. Was like, yo, like, I've dated little chicks who like attack
hold
you.
On, hold
like,
on.
Even if you just defend yourself.
Hold on. This is what I want to argue, though. How do you not know what Hope says, but know that you're the only one who said something else?
I said I don't know who all was on. Because we had a couple of people on that episode, so I don't remember who all was on. Like, I don't remember if Hov was on. I just know of the context of the conversation, I was the only one who took the point, hey, he may not have done this. He could have easily – they were in the back seat of a car. If he's just stiff-arming, keeping her away, then, yeah, it could look like he's choking her, or it could look like he's pinning her, or he could scratch her neck by stiff-arming her. Like, I don't remember who all was on the call, but I know I was the only person, like – nah, this may not be the way it's playing out, the way the media is making it sound.
Hov, New York. Can y'all please tell Blair he on some bullshit with that statement? It can't be me that overhears it.
I mean, when he clarified it, it made sense. But when he first said it, I definitely was like, wait, you don't know who said what, but you knew you was the only one? But then it makes sense because he's saying, like, on that call, he doesn't know who specifically was on the call, but that nobody outside of him was defending him. That makes sense.
That's bullshit.
I wasn't on it because it's the first I've heard about it, but I don't watch celebrity news at all. Like, I have no clue what's going on in the celebrity world unless you're an athlete.
Blur. I just wish Blair was just said, I don't remember the conversation.
But I do remember that aspect of the conversation. I think I want to say your cousin was on,
Because he was taking a point, like, yo, you never put your hands on a woman, never, never, never. And I just didn't sit right with me because I'm like, yeah, you never should, but there's a reason for everything, and you allow to defend yourself.
And then said, you never should, but.
Exactly. It's always one of those, yeah, but. Yeah, you should never hit a woman, but you are allowed to defend yourself. Now, that's where the gray area comes in a thin line. Don't hit nobody, but don't allow yourself to be a punching bag. If she's jumping and slapping and hitting you, knocking your phone, trying to get your phone out your hand, you can push her back. I mean, I ain't saying you got to go like the dude in Chicago, cock back and try to knock her out, but you can defend yourself. You don't got to get yourself knocked out of chivalry.
That's why you got to know who you're dating. You know, DJ Cesario would never hit me, but she would definitely try and take half. All right. So we're good with Jonathan Majors. So we want to talk about the submersible real quick. They found the ship. There were some remains that they're testing to be human, and they said it imploded in less than a second. And I think, can I tell you an honest conversation? I think they're telling us that it imploded less than a second just to make us feel bad, just to make us feel better.
I totally agree.
I don't think they really did. I think the people suffered. I think they were going down. It took 2 hours for them to reach the floor. And I think going down the whole way, they started hearing bumps and stuff, and they knew it was bad, and it slowly punished them. God bless them, people. But, you know, when you're an adventurer, that's the type of stuff that you go on. That's the risk you take. I mean, I'm pretty sure that, you know, you try for these adventures. These are the risks you take, and these are the things that you understand the risk. I was talking to – shout out to my homeboy, Young Scrappy. He showed up in town the other day. We had a good long talk, and it's funny because me and his wife was talking about turbulence on the airplane. I was like, man, I hate flying, you know, because I just never know what's a good bump and what's not. Because you're basically in a metal condom going, you know, 700 miles an hour. And you can't see nothing. Like, you can't see if the pilot is good or not. You're kind of just trusting that everything's okay. And we do it so much that it's becoming like driving. Like, people flying so much, and you know, sometimes that leads to a little bit of lack of safety stuff. So, you know, I was talking to her, and she was like, yeah, we were in this real bad turbulence, and she was like, yo, she thought it was over, and her husband was kind of just sitting there like nothing was wrong. And because it's a three passenger, you know, seating, like, the other lady was like freaking out and screaming because the turbulence was so bad, and she kept looking at her husband, and he just wasn't budging. He was just calm and cool and collective. And I was like, yo, that's why I hate flying, because I never know what's a good bump. I was like, how can you stay so calm? And he was like, well, when you've lived a life where people are shooting missiles at you, and you start to see missiles fly by your helicopter, and like, yeah, if that hit us, we were dead, a little bit of turbulence isn't that big of a deal. And it's, you know, it's all about perspective. And I'm pretty sure this wasn't a little bit of turbulence, and people got crushed to death, man. But, you know, at least they tried. You know, this, the first person to try to cross the Atlantic wasn't Christopher Columbus. He was just the first one that survived. You know, so pretty sad news, but, you know, hopefully the people get some answers out of the wreckage. And, you know, the tragedy that happened, there'll come some research out of it, and maybe in 20, 30 years, going to a place like the Titanic will be a regular visit like they're doing in space right now. Y'all got anything on it?
I think with the more you do something, the more comfortable you get with it, obviously. You know, I know I saw a video with one chick who, like, took this trip down to the Titanic, like, 4 times without any problem. So the thought of it probably ain't had no effect on her. I mean, I said last time I wouldn't have been on there. But I do think they're just trying to pacify us, because everybody was sitting around with a doomsday clock watching the countdown to these people suffocating and dying. And so they try and tell us, oh, no, y'all ain't got to feel bad about that, because they died. They didn't feel nothing. They were dead before their bodies could even register they were dead. and they died like instantly a long time ago. Y'all weren't sitting around waiting for these people to die. Don't feel bad, America. And I think that's some BS. I think we all need to live in that everybody had jokes. Everybody sitting around watching these people, a countdown to these people to suffocate. And when they did suffocate and die, everybody like, oh, no, that's going to feel too bad. Let's come up with something else. Oh, yeah, it imploded days ago.
Kind of sad. Hope, New York, y'all got anything? Y'all getting on the submarine?
Nah, I'm not getting on the submarine. Like, I have questions if I would get on a cruise ship again.
Really? You think this will make you think about not getting on the cruise? You're above water.
Oh, not the submarine. That just that I've seen a couple too many issues on cruise ships, and I'm like, yo, in the middle of the water, nah, I might not want to do that again. Like, I've done it. I've been on, I think, 3, and they were all fine, like, no issues at all. But now I'm like, I don't know if I would do it again.
I like going on cruises. I've always enjoyed it. The only time that we had a problem is that we had a storm coming back. That just started jumping. And I was like, yo, I've never seen, like, the horizon move so much. Because, like Hope said, you're in the middle of the water, so your frame of reference is, it's not like there's other buildings around to kind of help with your equilibrium. But you're consistently moving, so it's not like you're even on, like, stable ground. So, yeah, when that storm started happening, that ship started jumping down, and without any stability, that equilibrium was all messed up. I went to sleep. DJ C. Siren went and ate some pizza. We were just two different animals when it comes to that stuff. But any of y'all got any other reservations? Hope said he tried to think about not doing a cruise anymore. Any of y'all got any reservations? Would y'all get on the cruise?
Yeah, I like the cruise. To be honest with you, I mean, I could wake up, order food service at 2 o'clock in the morning. I can go downstairs, get me ice cream whenever I want. I mean, I'm chilling on that. And they got little clubs. I mean, the comedy clubs in there might suck a little bit, but they got clubs down there doing a little dance. You probably win a trophy and doing a little twist, put a little dance on and stuff like that. I like fun like that.
You could do that at a resort, B.
You know, and we'll move on. I mean, I just want to get a quick update on a submersible, but, you know, the submarine, why don't they call it a submersible? Why don't they just call it a submarine? But we don't have, like, have you ever seen them pictures of the frame of reference of the Titanic, like a Carnival cruise line? Like, it's amazing how big these ships are. I don't know if I'm ever getting into
submarine. I just saw a video today, ironically, someone sent it to me. The largest cruise ship ever, it just was completed. It's on its practice runs now, and it's set to take its first like actual cruise run, I think, early next year, like January, February next year.
Yeah,
something
I
like
that.
Over.
I hate that it's a trial run, yo.
Yeah, the trial runs now, I think. 5,000
yeah,
passengers, 2,500 crew. That's over 7,000 people. I ain't doing it.
Blur, are you okay? Are you being chased?
I just walked up 3 flights of stairs, man. I was trying not to show it, but, man,
yeah, I don't know if
3 flights of stairs shouldn't have me that much out of breath, but, yeah, they got me.
I just didn't know if you were being chased out of alley, you need us to call somebody.
Now, I'm still in my office, man, and I didn't want to take the elevator down because I got my son with me. Emery's here at the office with me, and I was walking him out.
Oh, what up, Jeff?
Oh, he can't hear you. I got my headphones in. But I didn't want to take the elevator down because I didn't know the service in the elevator. I'm only on the 3rd floor, man, but dang.
It'll beat you up. All right, that's enough of the submarine talk. So I went to my niece's quinceañera, but I got to have Brother M extra on there. There's so many jokes, so many kids. I do wonder, like, what is y'all reaction? So
Hove, you got all boys. Blur got boys. The ignorant of the kids. Like, at one point, a kid told my niece that he loved her. And again, they're 15, and I said, like, what the fuck you mean you love her? Like, you don't understand what that means. And but I also remember what it is to be at that age, because I actually had a girlfriend at that age. But it was funny, but, well, I'll make sure M actually gets on ahead, because that was a fun night, man. It's fun seeing these kids start to grow up. Like, at one point, they gave her, like, a flower that was blossoming, representing her way to womanhood, and I was like, that flower better close back up. She's only 15. We'll have that conversation next week. Let's see. So July 4th is coming up. Y'all doing fireworks? Y'all got any big plans? Oh, you got any big plans for the 4th of July? Get some American shorts. Get your Apollo Creed robe. Anything going on?
Nah, we chilling. We chilling because your nephew's birthday. I mean, you know, because they both birthday around the same time. But we having a party that Saturday. So I think I'm heading to my man's house. The L.A. dude I be telling you that always gives me these awful music takes about his West Coast rappers. Like, we going to his house to party more than likely.
Okay. Hey, let's make a – I know I keep saying this, but let's make a real good plan. Maybe when they hit 13, let's try to do a joint birthday party with the kids if they so close. But, yeah, our kid birthday next week too. So let's put that in the air. What about you, Blair? Anything for the 4th of July?
Nah, man, I ain't got no plans. And in fact, I played myself. I was talking with my boss the other day, I think Monday this week, and we was looking over next week. And he was like, yo, courthouse is going to be closed Monday and Tuesday. Do you want to shut down the office? What did I say? Nah, man, come on, let's come in. I'll be here. Ain't no problem. I ain't got no plans. He's like, yeah, you know what? If the courthouse is closed, post office closed, bank closed, we could really catch up on some work. I was like, exactly. That's what I was thinking. So, yeah, I'll be in. He's like, all right, cool. Then we'll be open. I'm an idiot.
Hey, I got an off-subject question based on what Blur just said. Am I the only person that has a problem with calling, like, your supervisor your boss? Like, I've never brought myself to say it, and I hate hearing it.
You know what's funny? Because he's not really my supervisor, and I don't really call him my boss all the time because me and him are so cool. But that's the only way I could describe it, because he is the senior partner at the firm, and I work directly with him. So I just say that, but it is weird. I was listening to the Dame Dash Breakfast Club interview, and like, can't have no man calling another man your boss. And I was like, yeah, I feel you on that. But at the same time, I can't really explain all that.
You know, that's an interesting conversation from my perspective, because I've had male supervisors, I've had women supervisors. It's funny, and I don't know if it's a, like, if you go into the psychology of it, I don't know if it's a disarming thing because I have such a big personality and I have a big presence, like just physical presence. The women I've called boss, the men, I've just described them as my CFO. So, like, one of my first supervisors was a white Jewish lady at T. Rowe Price. I still text her. I'm like, hey, what up, boss? I've had another female boss or supervisor, and I refer to, like, hey, what up, boss? Like, I refer to her as boss. I've had about six male supervisors, and I just refer them as the CFOs of the company. It's weird. Like, I don't think I've ever realized that until Hove just brought it up, and I wonder if it's some, like, trying to make the woman feel comfortable thing. I don't know, but I don't really put power in words like that. Like, you know, the funny thing is, if you really want to have a psychology experiment, like, I've had some terrible supervisors, and, like, I've had to tell them, and it's one of those things where
like my father always taught me, like, because, again, I've always told people, I realized I was more intelligent than my father pretty early in my life. But what I didn't account for is that he could beat my ass. Like, he was a fighter. Like, he could beat my ass for a long time. So I had to learn to navigate that. But it also made me a better, like, physical person because I know how to fight. So, like, I've always told people, like, okay, you may have a title that's higher than me, but that doesn't mean you're superior than me. Because if we take things down to the root level, and it's a pretty fucked up way to think about it, but someone gave you a title and said you were ranked above this person. But if I wanted to beat your ass and take off all your clothes and make you run down the street naked, I could. So I'm really more superior. And, like, I've had to have those conversations with people. But it's really – I guess it's just a fucked up way of life. But that's why I've never really considered, like, boss, like, a crazy word, like a strong word, because every supervisor I've ever had, I could whoop their ass. So I never looked at them as, like, a superior person. Even our coaches. I think about our head coach, Ho. He was the head coach. He was the leader of our football team. None of us cared about him. Hell, our offensive coordinator died. What'd you say?
They cussed him out multiple times.
Yeah, and he was our head coach. Like, I had an offensive coordinator die, and I literally didn't care. He was one of our OCs. So I mean, it's an interesting question, Hope, but I've never, this personal reflecting, I've called the women boss, but referred to men as their actual work title. New York, what about you, man? You've been quiet. Anything with you with the boss discussion?
Nah, I don't even call, like I said, I don't like you before. Like, I think we had a conversation before. Like, I don't call nobody by their title. I don't even call my mom. I don't even call my dad. I just woke up, start having a conversation. You know what I mean? That's it. I don't refer to anybody as their title. Honest with you.
What'd you say?
What do you call your mom? You just call her by her first name?
No, I just woke up and start having a conversation.
You just like, hey, yo.
Yep. She called me. I'll be like, yo. Yeah. She's like, why you answer the phone like that? I'm answering the phone like that. Yeah, I just woke up and had a conversation. But
that's interesting. Blur.
Yeah,
hose,
you know,
you
it's funny because I never really called. Oh. I say my boss, because it's like, I don't really know how to, like, especially on, I guess, situations where you don't have, like, a direct chain. Like, I say, oh, yeah, I was talking to my senior partner. It don't really hit the same. I could just say his name. I have some friends who just say everybody's name. I'm like, yo, I don't know who you're talking about. You have to tell me who they are in relation to you, because I don't know them. So you just can't walk up like, yo, I was talking to Josh. I'm like, who the fuck is Josh? You got to give me some reference point. But I've never actually called him my boss before, like, this past week or so when I heard the Dame Dash interview again, because it came up with some podcast that Charlamagne was doing, and they was asking him about it. And that clip just been playing on my algorithms. Can't no grown man call another grown man boss? And so it's just been kind of stuck in my head.
Yeah, there's some principles, and I love listening to Dame Dash talk. I love listening to Killer Mike talk. We got to get into his album. I thought his album was really good. Like, a lot of times when they speak, I like hearing Dr. Umar speak, too. Love hearing him speak. But they're always – but, like, when you have those people with – I like to call quote talk, where everything is a quote, everything is from something they read, and it's never – well, what do you think about it? Like, what's your original thought? It's always in reference to something else. Once you start hearing their own conversations or with their own thoughts, it starts to be a little bit ridiculous. And that's one of the things, Dan, like, I've never, like, so boss is a bad word, but saying nigga isn't. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I always like having those conversations with people about inconsistencies in the way they think and just not judging them, but just how they got there. But I love hearing Dame Dash conversations. I think he has a lot of intelligence behind him. So it's a lot of I appreciate the way his brain works. But yeah, boss ain't that bad. I mean, they even say that my job, like, no one's your boss. They're just your supervisor. They don't even like using the word manager. Like, I'm not anyone's manager. I'm a supervisor. And I was just like, what the fuck's the difference? But anybody who kind of, like, works under me, I don't really like. Like, don't call me. Don't call me boss. Like, I'm here to make sure I'm just part of the chain in the system. I'm here to make sure your shit's right. Don't fuck up your shit so I can go about my day. All right, so anything left? Hov jumped in with the boss conversation. Anybody got anything left on it? All right, cool. Madonna almost died. Anybody care?
No.
Who almost died?
I do. Madonna. She got a bacterial infection, and they found her unresponsive. This is why I'd be mad at white people. Because when Whitney Houston was found unresponsive, she lived. Like, how Madonna, I mean, Whitney Houston died. How Madonna lived? Madonna was talking about having sex since the 70s. I guess that's different than crack. I guess I can't knock her for that.
One thing is that...
Because she's like a virgin, right? She wasn't a virgin, right? Like, she was having sex before Magic Johnson. I don't know how true that is. That could be hyperbole.
What are you talking about?
But like a virgin was young.
What does that have to do with dying?
Like a virgin was young. She ain't had no STDs. She ain't have no Madonna.
What are you talking about?
Because Madonna was talking about unprotected sex in the 70s.
What song did she say?
Like a virgin.
That does not mean nothing about unprotected. This dude is wallet.
You don't know the song. You probably don't even know the words to the song.
No, I don't.
I'm like, what in the world?
I'm just saying, yeah, that's my girl, Toni Braxton. I can't believe Toni Braxton dated baby. But anyway, so Madonna almost died. We're glad that she's still here. She is a legend. I give her that. I've never been a fan of her music, but you recognize pop culture anywhere, and it seems like she had a tough go, but it seems like she's going to make it through. Bacteria infection, it's crazy that when you get old, something like bacteria can take you out. Strep throat.
You know what's funny? That's what I was initially thinking. Like, she's old, but it got me thinking, like, old as, like, an old superstar, old celebrity seems like it's different than just regular old. I just assume, like, maybe she's had plastic surgery, she had work done, so she's been cut open a couple times. She's lived a rock star lifestyle, so she's probably dibbled and dabbled with drugs for a very long time, drugs and alcohol, fast life, surgeries. It just seemed like my mind immediately went to that as a cause for like some type of different type of bacteria infection as opposed to, oh, she's just a 60, 70-year-old woman with normal 60, 70-year-old woman problems.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I definitely agree. It's just old, you know. Hey, we only got about 20 more years. We'll be there too. No more kissing. All right, anybody got anything left on Madonna? You have about 5 minutes.
Do you think anybody goes back? Y'all remember Drake kissed Madonna and she bit his tongue? Y'all just think of like, yo, what were we thinking? Like, when I saw the news, I started seeing like current pictures of Madonna, and I'm like, huh, she was a sex symbol back in the day. Man.
She was never good looking.
She was never good looking, but she was a sex symbol.
Is it because she was just out here whoring, you know?
Stop talking negatively.
Look, I ain't not. When this chick's out here be whoring, I ain't knocking them. I love a good whore.
You don't have to say out here whoring. I mean, like, can you just, like, come
on. I've enjoyed many of whores. I think they're wonderful people.
You don't
whore then.
Huh?
Then you're a whore.
Oh. Is that the comeback?
Yes.
Okay. But, I mean, like, fuck, ain't nothing wrong with that. I didn't know she bit Drake's tongue. I don't remember that.
Yeah, I didn't remember that either.
Y'all remember that was a couple years ago. Like, she was performing, and Drake was, like, performing with her, and she did, like, a lap dance for him. And I guess he kissed her, and she didn't like that. So she bit his tongue. And I'm like, Drake is nasty. Why are you kissing that old-ass woman?
Why would we give the Dalai Lama such a bad, hard time?
It's Drake's the one.
Nobody got the joke? I ain't got no chuckle except for DJ Cesar. It's just because she's used to this. I didn't realize Drake kissed Madonna. That's nasty. How you get it back?
Damn, man, you got to check. That's what I was thinking. Like does Drake count that on his list? Like, oh, yeah, I kissed Madonna. What's his name? Dennis Rodman think back, like, yeah, I used to smash that. Like, do these people look back at their experiences like, oh, yeah, I did that. That was me. I don't think no one – and it's bad because, you know, like, she's an old woman now. So, like, you can't judge people who they did back in the day for what they are now. But it's like people was actually, like, taking that down. That was a notch on somebody's belt. Like, Drake was excited to get on stage and kiss Madonna. Dennis Rodman was parading around with Madonna in a dress and everything. Like, people was claiming that.
Pop, too.
Mm. Oh, yeah, Pop did hit Madonna. Man, see? Yeah, man, look, shout out to Madonna. When I say you out here whoring, I don't even mean it in a negative context. You doing your thing. But, man, yo, that's rough. She outlasted all of them. Tupac dead. Dennis Rodman's not dead, but he's probably died a couple times and came back. He on that Lamar Odom. He was. Who else? Who else did y'all say he date Drake? I guess Drake's still living. He's young. But Pusha killed him. Man, that's tough. Shout out to Madonna, though. Glad you're back healthy. Like Blair said, old people, old problems. Last quick topic, let's just get to it. Did y'all see Ryan Mallett drown, tough case, swimming in Florida beaches? You got to be careful of swimming in a Florida beach. Ryan Mallett was a quarterback who famously put Arkansas's real good quarterback at Arkansas, the air raid offense. Really, if you're a fan of college football, you remember him playing in college football. He's putting up a bunch of numbers, played for New England for a little bit, not really a great NFL career, a little bit of backup, but, you know, he was an NFL athlete. He was swimming in an ocean, and he drowned. And that's why oceans are scary. I think an orca got him. But, you know, be careful out there in the oceans, man. Y'all got anything about Ryan Mallett dying? Did y'all know?
I didn't know. I knew he drowned. I just didn't know it was in the ocean.
Yeah, that was the first I'm hearing of this at all. Like, people need to stay away from these oceans, man, especially if they got whales in it, man. Was this part of the ones, like, the whales been fucking people up lately? Like, was he part of that from, like, the last couple of weeks to months? Or was this, like, recent?
No, this was recent. I mean, no one said that anything attacked him. I mean, I want to be as sensitive as I can. I could joke about Madonna. She's still alive, but Ryan Mallett's dead, but... You know, they just said he drowned. They said it wasn't a rip current. They said it was a yellow on the beaches. And for us that live in beach town, though, it means, like, swim with caution. But it doesn't mean it's that bad out there. But because we live in a beach town, what you learn is ocean is much different from, like, a bay. The amount of speed and energy that comes off the waves in the ocean is way different than when the water is just, like, circling around calmly with breaks in it. So it can be dangerous out there in the ocean, man. We just went to the ocean a couple of years ago, a different part of the Atlantic. I walked out, like, 10 feet. I walked out, like, 5 feet and just, like, fell. And I was, like, I went from ankle-deep of water to shoulder deep. Like, you don't know what's going on in that ground. So... shout out to his family. We got to get out of here. It's been a good conversation tonight. have fun tonight. Time flew by. DJ C. Time was supposed to do her hair, but she was so riveted by the conversation that she didn't do it. So, on that note, DJ C. Time, you going to keep me up all night doing your hair?
No.
All right. Well, it was good having you. You got anything to say to the people before we go?
Good night.
Always a riveting conversation. Again, please wish us a happy anniversary. We've been together 11 years. I will say that's a successful marriage, even if we decide to get divorced tomorrow. Do you agree?
No.
No? Damn, 11 years with somebody? And you decide to just go about your separation? That's not considered a successful relationship? That's tough. Hold. You got anything to say before you go?
Hey, happy anniversary, fam. That's about it.
You know, when I say happy life, that's crap shit. Blur, what you got?
Oh, yeah, for me, man, as well. Happy anniversary to y'all, man. Hope you enjoy it. Here's to another 11-plus years. Maybe it'll be a successful one after 20. But, no, man, congratulations. Glad y'all made it this far. I mean, I had the over, so I'm doing very well. And go see the movie No Hard Feelings, man. Raunchy teenage comedies are coming back, and I love it. You get to see Jennifer Lawrence in a full frontal nude scene for about a good minute, minute and a half, man, if y'all into that type of stuff.
Who's Jennifer Lawrence?
Jennifer Lawrence is Nah, she's not. That's not Million Dollar Baby. That was a... That's the other
Jennifer
chick.
Lawrence?
Hunger Games is Jennifer Lawrence. She played Mystique in the newest X-Men, the last couple X-Men. She was Mystique.
Sexy in that. Little blue titties. Love a blue titty. Oh, okay. It's weird seeing kids grow up like that. Because you said Hunger Games, I immediately got turned off. Like, she's a baby. Then you said Mystique, and I saw blue titties, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm in. I'm calling.
That's right. She's on that commercial.
What commercial? With blue titties?
No. I forget the commercial.
New York, what you got before we roll?
Look, I want to say this to all the kids. Y'all mean stay in school. Y'all mean do good, do well. Y'all mean stay out in the streets. Y'all mean tax stolen. You got 35 years. Casanova got 15. Y'all mean it's not worth it. Y'all mean keep your head high. Y'all mean do what you got to do. Stay off the street. Other than that, y'all mean, shout out to BET for lifting the band on this. Chief Keith, y'all mean, happy to see him perform at the BET Awards. Ain't none changed. Glad for him. Happy for that brother. Other than that, happy for Jonathan Myers, whatever his last name is. Y'all mean, he about to beat the case, and he got Megan Good. It's a win-win situation. Other than that, y'all mean, congratulations to both of y'all in 11 years, y'all mean. Support Black Love. Other than that, I mean, I look forward to the next conversation next week.
Hey, Tax got 35 years. Troy Ave out here walking free. You upset or you go with it?
Hey, it ain't my business. Yeah, I mean, you know how I feel about that situation, but it ain't my business, man.
Who got 35 years?
Taxo, we'll talk about next week. Yeah, next week.
Okay.
Until next week. Taxo, the original cool pop. Taxo. He was started out with one of the first.
She's a kid. She's back. I'm out with you. Let's go. All.